Welcome to the infamous podcast, Bitch, I'm Not Well. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Brandy.
And we're invested on taking you down to Crazy Town, where we talk about crazy bitches who are truly unwell.
All right, guys, welcome back. Y'all ready to finish up on Josh and Amber?
Yeah.
All right, so Josh just declined going to Amber's daddy's wedding.
Okay.
And Amber, you know, him to attend the event. His family. Come on.
Of course.
You're in the family now.
Yes, yeah.
So the morning that they're fighting, a neighbor overheard some of the arguing between the couple.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. According to this neighbor, a male voice said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And a female voice yelled back, "I want you to grow up."
Hmm. That's not asking much.
Okay. Not really. So during the fight, Josh picked up a laundry basket and he threw it. And the basket hit a bedroom window and the window broke.
No.
So Amber called maintenance and asked about getting it repaired. I don't think apartment windows should be breaking this easily. Their apartment was on the 25th floor and a plastic laundry basket broke their window. Actually, the windows that we have, the commercial, the guy takes a sledgehammer and he swings it into the window and it doesn't break.
Oh, okay. I think whenever it's over a certain story, they've got to be made of
at least tempered glass or something. Yeah, there's some safety features in there.
Millimeter, like, so that's like a baby bumping into it or like falling into it.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't no basket.
No. And that made me pretty damn nervous. Like, if my windows are cracking that easy,
yeah.
Like, what is somebody trying to break in? If you can break out, you can break in.
Well, if you're on the 25th floor.
Spider-Man.
Window cleaner.
All right, guys. That didn't go with my thing, but whatever.
Whatever. I hate you all.
I hate you all. So I'm assuming that these windows were not up to code.
Probably not.
It just so happens that the day that this window broke, there was already repairmen on site fixing other windows that had broken because they weren't up to par.
For real?
For real.
Okay.
So, since they were already there, they scheduled an appointment for the same day. And we're going to go up and fix that today.
Mm-hmm.
Once they finished working on the apartment that they were currently at, they just hopped on over to Amber and Josh's apartment.
Yeah.
Whenever they arrived, they noticed that Amber and Josh were both visibly upset. When they arrived, there was two workmen. And one of them went into the bedroom to check on the window, and the other one went back down to his truck to check for supplies and bring them back up to fix the window.
Mm-hmm.
After the second one came back up, he went on the balcony and began to cut glass for the repair. And the repairman that was left in the apartment, Armando, said he was worried because the tension between Josh and Amber was real bad.
Uh-oh.
He said that the mood in the apartment was very aggressive. And the repairman didn't specify at the time if he was more worried about Amber or Josh being the aggressor. But at one point in his statement, he said his concern was Josh because he was a big guy. He was 6'4" and 220 pounds, while Amber was nearly a foot shorter and visibly pregnant.
Oh.
But at another point in his statement, he said things that indicated Amber was the one he was worried about. But either way, he was worried that they were going to hurt each other.
Right.
And he kept an ear out while he was working outside of the view of the living room where Amber and Josh had moved to continue their argument. He said while he was working, he heard a loud crash and then screaming. And worried that Amber and Josh's argument had turned physical, he ran into the living room to intervene. But when he got there, no one was there. The window was smashed and the front door was open. Armando's coworker was still on the ground and he called saying he just saw someone fall from the window.
What?
Yeah. So Armando
ran. A different window?
The smashed window. So Armando's fixing a window in their bedroom. When he goes into the living room window is shattered and gone.
Oh God.
Yeah. When Armando ran from the apartment, he saw Amber in the hallway waiting for the elevator, and she was screaming. She yelled, "Is he dead?" And then the two rode down to the lobby together.
Ugh.
Armando told someone to call 911 immediately. There was a neighbor who had been outside smoking at the time, and he saw Josh fall, so he had already called 911. Amber ran outside of the apartment complex, but Josh wasn't there. Then it occurred to her that directly below their apartment wasn't street level. It was a parking garage.
Oh, God.
So she went back up to the eighth floor where the top of the parking garage was located. And the apartment manager went with her. And the two then found Josh. He had fallen from the 25th floor to the 8th floor.
Oh,
and he was obviously dead. Ugh. Amber kept yelling for someone to help him. She cradled him while saying things like she didn't mean to and it was an accident.
Mm-mm.
A little after the paramedics arrived, they realized there was nothing they can do. And they got there. They knew he was already dead. Sure. He had fallen 17 stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did have to treat Amber, who was in hysterics. She threw up at one point and then passed out at another point.
Damn.
She told the paramedics she had to call her grandmother Gloria. Once her grandmother arrived, she tried to calm Amber down. And Amber told her that Josh fell out of a window after she had pushed him.
Oof.
She said she didn't mean to push him. And according to a medic who overheard the call, Amber said, "I'm going to jail."
Mm-hmm.
Amber was taken to the police station but was not immediately arrested. The police weren't immediately aware of what had happened at the apartment that led to Josh falling through the window. They had to figure out if his death was a suicide, an accident, or murder. Originally, they assumed the most likely cause was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
They put Amber into a small interrogation room and allowed her grandmother in there with her. While Amber and her grandmother were in the room, an officer was in the adjoining room typing up a report. And this officer started overhearing a few snippets of what Amber was saying to her grandmother. After listening in for a few minutes, he decided to press record on the audio equipment in the room.
Why wouldn't he have done that initially?
I guess initially they weren't expecting to actually interrogate her. Like maybe they were just leaving her in there until somebody could come and help her because she was emotionally upset. And I would have thought they would have brought her to the hospital, but mm-hmm. I guess they just brought her directly to the police station.
Yeah.
Amber was incredibly emotional, and she kept calling herself a horrible person for having pushed Josh.
Mm-hmm.
She said she pushed him out the window. Her grandmother repeatedly told her to stop saying that. At one point, her grandmother...
I'm surprised they let the grandmother in there.
Yeah. Well, at this time, she wasn't under arrest, and she wasn't even...
But still, you always separate people, like...
Yeah, I guess her being pregnant and how emotional she was, like, I don't...
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't expect to push somebody into a window and then fly through it, regardless if they are 2 inches off the ground or 50 feet up in the air. Like, I expect windows to be strong enough to withstand
a body going through it at 6'4 and 220 pounds.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's some, yeah, I guess it's because I'm in safety. I know what the requirements are now. Like, to meet code, you have to have certain requirements.
Well, we already know that a plastic laundry basket cracked your bedroom window.
Yeah, so these were not up to code. And later on, they do find out that these were like in code in the 70s and 80s, but this is 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And they are well past being legal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Amber, she was incredibly emotional and she kept calling herself a horrible person for having pushed Josh. She mm-hmm. said she pushed him out the window and her grandmother repeatedly told her to stop saying that.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, her grandmother asked, "Did you push him intentionally?" And Amber said, "Of course not."
Mm-hmm.
Her grandmother told her, "Don't say anything when the police go in until you have your attorney." At another point, Amber also said, "I wonder if his parents know yet."
Oh.
They were right. They kept saying, "If we stayed together, I'm going to kill him."
Oh.
After recording Amber and Gloria for nearly an hour, the police asked Amber if she was willing to make a statement, and Amber told the officer that her mother was sending an attorney. After her attorney arrived, Amber made her official statement to the police. Amber told the police that she was doing laundry while Josh waited on his friends to pick him up. He had packed his bags and had them near the door. Amber,
wait, this is the day of the wedding?
This is the day that he's pushed out the window. So this is what Amber says officially happened. This is what she tells the police.
Okay. I thought it was the day of her dad's wedding.
No, her dad's wedding was like that weekend, but Josh was going to be out. He was supposed to be out of town in Tennessee.
Oh, got you.
So okay. This is a Tuesday.
Okay.
So she tells the police she's doing laundry. Mm-hmm. Josh comes in. He's waiting on his friends to pick him up. He had packed his bags. He had him near the door. And Amber told Josh that he needed to give her his key to the apartment. And when he got back from his trip, he needed to find somewhere else to stay.
Mm.
According to Amber, this statement is not what had triggered their fight. Josh actually agreed. And he was like, you know, I don't have any issues with this. We need to separate. I'm not going to come back. Josh called his dad, and his dad said that whenever he called that morning, he told him he was leaving Amber for good, and he wanted his dad to come and pick him up. But it was the middle of a work day on a Tuesday, and he couldn't come get him. But he asked Josh if he could wait until he got off work, and he would go get him. Josh said that was fine because he did have a friend coming by later that day. He would just leave with him.
Yeah.
Amber had text messages from the previous days backing up that she initiated divorce talk in the days leading up to Josh's death. At this point, it seems like both of them may have been coming to an agreement that this divorce needed to happen.
Yeah.
However, even with both agreeing to divorce, they still had a lot of unresolved issues and frustrations, and they did love each other, so they had to deal with the heartbreak as well.
Right.
After the police began investigating, it was determined that they continued to talk while Josh waited for his ride, and their talk turned into arguing. Amber said she brought up Josh's drug use and the fact that he was selling drugs instead of getting a real job. Amber then started going through the laundry basket of clothes to pack her things to go to her grandmother's house. She took Josh's stuff out of the basket and he asked her what she was doing, and Amber told him she wasn't going to be doing his laundry anymore. According to Amber, that's when Josh grabbed the basket from her, dumped everything else out, and then threw the basket across the room. This is when the basket hit and broke the window. An empty laundry basket broke an exterior window on the 25th floor of a high-rise apartment. It definitely shows the glass was not up to code. And after further investigation, it was determined that the glass used in the windows in Amber and Josh's apartment were not tempered or strengthened in any way.
Oh, wow. Wow.
The glass used had the thickness and strength of glass used in picture frames.
That's terrifying.
Yes. I mean, I know how many frames I have broke, like glass that I've broken, picture frames. Those things break easily.
Damn.
To imagine that you're 25 floors up and that's all you have protecting you in that hard ass cement.
That makes me want to puke.
Yeah, that's really scary. Like, I don't know how this passed. I know they had to have safety inspections throughout the years. How did nobody report that these windows were that flimsy? Especially since they had repairmen on site fixing other apartments' windows.
How many people need to fly out?
Exactly.
Of these windows.
Before you realize this is
before
a problem.
Before you understand. Tempered glass. Do they have tempered glass then?
Well, they didn't. I mean, this was in 2011. They definitely had it by then.
Yeah.
I think this code that they, like, they were under code from, like, the 80s. At the absolute latest was the last time these were actually updated.
The bitches were grandfathered in.
Yeah, probably so. So when the repairman arrived at their apartment, Amber began to vacuum up broken glass. As the argument between Amber and Josh continued, they moved to the living room. Amber was pissed and she yelled at Josh about how angry her mom was going to be over the broken window and how Josh was acting immature. After this, Amber went into the bathroom to cry. Josh went into the bathroom after her and he said he knew they needed a break, but that he did want to work things out.
Yeah.
They started talking again, and then again, it escalated into an argument. Josh then texted his friends to hurry up because he needed to leave. Amber originally said the argument continued into the living room where they were standing 3 to 4 feet away from the window. At some point in their argument, Josh grabbed her by the shoulders and she thought he was going to hit her, so she pushed him off of her.
Oh, God.
This is when Josh approached her again and she pushed him again. He then tripped on the TV or possibly hit the TV stand. He was stumbling backwards. He hit the window, which shattered, and he fell through. Because of Josh's height, his center of gravity was high enough that he fell backwards out of the window.
Yeah.
Amber said she was briefly able to grab his foot, but he was too heavy for her to hold on to.
Oh, my God.
This was Amber's versions of event. And it does sound believable enough. She reiterated that she did not intentionally push him towards the window. She just pushed him off of her.
Okay.
Which, I mean, honestly, any normal person would expect the windows in a high-rise building to be a little bit stronger than your average glass.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I, for one, am very freaking clumsy, and I would hope that a window that I stumbled into would not just shatter.
It's something you wouldn't really think
about. No, I mean,
you would just assume.
Even with a window being broken in the bedroom by the basket, that still isn't the first thing that would pop into my head whenever me and whoever are arguing. Like, I don't know.
Sure.
She's very emotional right now. But some witnesses came forward with different versions of this story.
There were witnesses?
there was witnesses. There were several people outside of the apartment, like on the ground floor parking or whatever. There was a couple people outside smoking. They had the two repairmen that one heard the conversation and the other one was outside and saw. So they had quite a few witnesses. The investigators began to doubt Amber's versions of events. One of the reasons they began to change their mind is because after talking to the first responders at the scene and watching her video with her grandmother, Amber never mentioned the fact that Josh assaulted her first. She never said Josh pushed her first until after her formal interview with police with her attorney present.
Okay.
So it wasn't self-defense until after her official statement.
I got you. Okay.
There were also additional witnesses that told investigators differing versions of how Josh came out of the window and how he landed. Amber stated Josh was face down on the top of the parking garage, but Amber said she pushed Josh from the front and he fell backwards out of the window. If Josh had fallen backwards from the window, he'd have had to twist around to land face down. After recreating the fall, the medical examiner came to the conclusion that it was impossible to tell which way Josh came out of the window. Some of the dummies that they threw out the window did spin in the air and land face down.
Sure, yeah.
Others landed on their back. There was no way to prove which way he actually fell out of the window without a video. Like,
for instance, if you're trying to do a swan dive and instead you do a back bust.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not good at diving.
If you're not good at diving, if you're trying to save yourself from falling. Like, if he did fall out and she caught his foot when she slipped out of her hands, he could have easily
flipped over
and landed face down.
Ugh.
That's really terrible to think about.
It is horrible to think about. I cannot even imagine.
Yeah. So to support the investigator's idea that he did come out face first, they had two witnesses who saw Josh as he fell out of the window. And both of these witnesses happened to be outside at the time of the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They both said, based on their perceptions and memories of the incident, Josh was facing forward whenever he fell.
Shh-ca-ca.
The fact that Josh was waiting for someone to pick him up, some investigators theorized that he may have been looking out of the window waiting on his ride when he was pushed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Which would mean he was not pushed from the front in self-defense, but from the back from when the he back. Was unaware.
Right.
Another issue the investigators had with Amber's story was the size difference. Amber was 5'5", and Josh was 6'4" and 220 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he was military trained.
Right.
If Josh was close enough to Amber to have her by the shoulders, how did she get enough leverage to push him hard enough to make him stumble back to the point he fell? It was more likely to the authorities that Amber had caught Josh off guard with the push, and that's how she managed to get him off balance enough that he went through the window.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all of that was true, was it possible that Amber really intended for her husband to go through the closed window? Did it register with her that the windows were too thin to support her husband being shoved against it?
Hmm.
She had to know the windows were flimsy since the laundry basket broke
cracked
the window.
It. Yeah.
But in the heat of the moment, did she rationally think that shoving him would make him fall through the window? Or was it just like, I'm pissed off. You're not looking at me. You're ignoring me. Give him a good shove. Oh, you're falling out the window. We don't know.
I think she probably meant it.
I think
she didn't mean it.
I think she pushed him on purpose whenever he was not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she pushed him with the intention of him falling out of the window.
Right. Same.
I think she intended for him to like hit the window with his head or something, piss him off a little bit more, show him she's mad, but not kill him.
I think she probably pushed him with the vision of him going out the window, but when it actually happened, you know, reality and perception are two whole different ball games.
Like, I would never think that pushing somebody would lead to that. Well, 4 hours after pushing her husband through a window leading to his death, 19-year-old Amber was arrested on suspicion of first-degree intentional homicide.
Oof. Lordy.
Yeah, so she was young and pregnant, so you know her hormones were all over the place.
True.
I do think she shoved him intentionally, and she should have been held responsible for that decision, but not that his death was intentional.
Yeah.
Amber's defense had the same thoughts. They even had Amber take a polygraph 2 weeks after Josh's death to prove it. During the polygraph, they asked two questions. Both questions were basically the same question, just asked in different ways. The first was, did you push Josh out of the window on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And the second was, did you deliberately push Josh out of the window? After running the exam once, they did it a second time with the same exact questions, and mm-hmm. Amber answered no, and she passed both times. But as we all know, polygraphs are not admissible in court. And
like at the time, she probably did mean it. But she probably, like I said, she probably didn't mean to kill him. You know, like it plays through your head.
Yeah.
Sometimes when Jeremy is snoring so loud, I can picture myself like whacking him with a frying pan.
Or taking the pillow.
But would I actually whack him with a frying pan? No, hell no.
No. Poor flip-flop.
But if I had a frying pan there, like at my bedside table, would I do it? I don't know, Jeremy, would I?
How hard are you snoring? How tired am I? You know how much little Brownie would miss his flip-flop?
Yes. Oh, so sometimes you do shit that's just out of emotion and just, you're not thinking clearly. That's like crimes of passion.
Yes. I kind of think that's what this is. Like, yeah. Like how you said, she meant to push him, but she didn't mean to kill him.
Right. Oof.
Well, it really didn't matter in the end because mm-hmm. the state of Oklahoma decided to downgrade the charge to second-degree murder. Mm-hmm. In Oklahoma, second-degree murder does not require an intent to kill. It wasn't clear if the state agreed Amber didn't intend to kill Josh or if they just didn't think they could prove it without a doubt. In Oklahoma, there are two things the state has to prove at trial to prove murder in the second degree. One is that the act caused the death was imminently dangerous, and the second is that the conduct demonstrated a depraved mind and extreme disregard for human life. Mm. The state basically had to prove that the conduct was something a reasonable person would know had an extreme high risk of death, and that the person had a total indifference to that and a reckless disregard for the life and safety of the victim. Mm-hmm. If Amber pushed Josh from the front and it caused him to stumble back and trip on the TV, then causing him to fall out the window, they would likely be looking at manslaughter.
But right.
pushing him from the back while he is standing near the window, possibly looking out of it, seems much more like second-degree murder with extreme disregard for human life. Ugh. So with this, they had a lot better chance of getting a guilty verdict than first degree. The fact that they were going for second-degree murder made it clear they were going to argue at trial the push came from behind. Mm-hmm. The state's theory did add a manslaughter charge as a lesser charge the jury could consider in the event they didn't find the action met the bar for second-degree murder. Mm-hmm. Amber was able to make bond and was released 2 days after her arrest. She was free on bond, and on August 11th, she gave birth to her son.
Oh.
So Josh never got to meet his son.
That's so sad.
But her time on the outside was going to come to an end a few months later. Her bond was revoked because Amber had not kept her ankle monitor charged on multiple occasions, and then she failed drug testing positive for marijuana.
Really?
Yeah.
After all that complaining and all that?
Yeah. Mad that her boyfriend's smoking pot. So Amber, who had said she was shocked and appalled at her husband's drug use, apparently used at least pot herself. And mm-hmm. according to Josh's father, Josh had actually complained to him about Amber's drug use.
Wow.
He was upset because Amber wouldn't stop using marijuana even during her pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
Amber's story is the complete opposite of what Josh's parents stated.
Course.
She said pretty much as soon as they got back to Tulsa from Alaska, it was Josh who was going out and partying with his friends all the time, leaving her home alone, first at her mother's house and then at their apartment.
Yeah.
An autopsy and a toxicology screen was done on Josh in spite of Amber's claims. Josh had spent months prior to his death partying with friends and doing drugs. His toxicology report came back negative.
Oh, for everything?
Everything. He was completely clean. This brought quite a bit of Amber's story into question. Mm-hmm. It is possible for someone to sell drugs without using drugs, but is it likely? I guess if he was a true entrepreneur, he would know better than to use his merchandise instead mm-hmm. of selling it. But Amber repeatedly stated that Josh was using drugs during this time. Mm-hmm. But the medical examiner proved without a doubt that this was not the case. He was right. not messed up on anything at the time of his death, and his toxicology report was completely clean.
Yeah. Oof.
One of their neighbors, Nathan, came forward to say he heard arguing on the day of Josh's death. He then described a sound like someone running across the apartment in the direction of the windows. He then heard the window breaking. Nathan's story is introducing the theory that Amber didn't so much as push Josh as she charged at him. This would explain how she got enough force to push him out the window. That said, Nathan was the only neighbor who heard the running. But it was a day and a time when a lot of people are at work. So
yeah.
There wouldn't have been a lot of witnesses
right
near them.
Mm. Dang. So she, that does seem more likely.
Yeah.
If somebody's standing, right? Just standing there.
And can you really push them hard enough into the window?
Yeah, I know.
To make them fall? But if you run and you push them, that's a lot more force.
Mm-hmm.
Which, why the hell would you do that? Unless you were thinking he's going to fall out that window.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, because if he's not going to fall out that window, you're going to be hurt too hitting him.
What if you fall after him?
Yeah.
Like, oof.
She didn't think that one through. Throughout this time, Amber continued to insist that the push was in self-defense and the fall was a tragic accident and mm-hmm. negligence on the part of the building for having such substandard windows. Amber even filed a wrongful death suit against the University Club Tower Apartments over Josh's death.
Mm.
The prosecution was willing to take Amber to trial on this, but they were also willing to make a deal. Because this obviously was not an open and shut case. They right. didn't know that they were going to go into this 100% sure they were going to win.
Right.
The defense already had window experts ready to come in and testify that the windows were shockingly subpar. That could be persuasive when it's coming to the argument about Amber's disregard for Josh's life and what she could reasonably have expected those windows to do or not do. Most of the jurors were probably able to imagine being in their own homes, even though we know glass can break. We feel confident that our windows won't shatter by having someone pushed into them. The state knew that it was a risk taking Amber to trial and expecting the jury to find her guilty and sentence her to 25 years in prison. With this in mind, the prosecutors approached Amber and her attorney before trial and tried again to offer a plea deal. This deal would be 7 years in prison and then 13-year suspended sentence. Amber, right before trial, refused the deal. The prosecution came back with an offer of 6 years in prison and then 15 years probation. This included time served before her trial. If Amber accepted this, she would have been out in a couple years and free to raise her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Amber turned it down, going for an acquittal.
Oh.
She said she refused to plead guilty and serve time for a crime that she was not guilty of.
Maybe in her mind she thought she wasn't.
Maybe so. After her refusal, it was obvious that she would be going to trial.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of pre-trial back and forth, but the most relevant of issues was the videotape of Amber and her grandmother, Gloria, from the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Amber and Gloria were not aware that they were being recorded, and they spoke very openly.
Uh-oh.
There were several things on the tape that benefited Amber's defense. She was clearly distraught and remorseful and saying things like how she didn't mean for Josh to go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
She kept saying that she pushed him, and Gloria had told her to stop saying that.
Right.
Gloria told her she had to fight for her baby and for herself, and Amber responded asking who was going to fight for Josh, showing that her concern was with him and not herself in the immediate aftermath. But there were things that didn't benefit Amber, like sound bites of her saying, "I killed Josh."
Well, she did.
Yeah. And that was not going to sound great to a jury. Also, she never mentioned on those tapes that Josh put his hands on her first.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking openly about every detail and every feeling to her grandmother, but she doesn't mention anything about him assaulting her first.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like that would be human nature to say something like that, though, you know, like,
yeah.
He attacked me. I had no choice. I had to defend my baby. I had to defend myself.
Like, you know you did something wrong.
Yeah.
You're upset because you just killed the person you love, but you didn't mean to do it.
Right.
Like, she's in shock and she's...
It's almost like your brain makes you want to defend yourself if you really, truly didn't mean to do something.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have a reason for doing that awful thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would think so.
But she never mentioned that. So, did he really? I bet he did. I'm sure he did grab her shoulders.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Which is much better than grabbing her breast.
Yeah, I'm trying to pop it.
And by the way, that was in episode one of this.
Oh, yeah.
Of for this, yeah.
The part two, sorry, guys.
That was part one of this episode. But much better idea to grab shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders and not boobies.
Yeah, but that's my thought. Like, if she didn't mention him having any kind of aggression to her, maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah, like maybe they had been fighting, but, and maybe he did grab her shoulders, but it wasn't a push after he grabbed her shoulders.
Yeah.
It was a push well after he grabbed her shoulders.
Yeah. There was tension in the room, according to the maintenance man.
So she's talking openly about every detail and every feeling to her grandma, but she doesn't know that the police are listening in, and she does not mention self-defense. Mm-hmm. Another thing the defense was worried about when it comes to this tape is that it wasn't complete. The officer didn't hit record the minute that they walked into the room. It was only after he realized what they were talking about that he started recording.
Mm-hmm.
And there are chunks of the recording that were missing or had glitched out.
Oh, gosh.
And the state said it was a tech issue, but the defense didn't believe them. And they saw the tapes as, you know, it's kind of biased on y'all's part. You're only showing what benefits your side of the case, not so much what benefits our side of the case.
Mm-hmm.
The defense also argued that this violated her Miranda rights against answering questions when she said she wanted her attorney to be there. But the judge ruled that no one was asking Amber questions. It was a conversation between her and her grandmother, and her grandmother was not an agent of the state. The second argument they had tried was that this violated Amber's right to privacy. But the judge determined that Amber didn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy when she's sitting in a police interrogation room.
Right.
So the video was, in the court's opinion, eligible to be displayed on trial.
Yeah.
Initially, the court also decided to block any images of Josh's body because no one was disputing how he died or even disputing that Amber had pushed him. The disagreement was over the charge that she was being faced with. And because of this, they thought there was no reason to show Josh's body.
Mm-hmm.
But the prosecution pushed back, saying that the photographs helped prove their theory that Josh went face first, meaning he was pushed from behind. So some of the images were allowed, and the medical examiner would testify that there was no way to know which way he was facing when he went out the window. With this being said, why the photographs were given to the jury would it would give more information than the medical examiner could supply. So the trial for Josh's murder began in March. The state was seeking to prove Amber had committed second-degree murder, but the jury was allowed to consider first-degree manslaughter as well. The jury technically had three options: guilty of second-degree murder, guilty of first-degree manslaughter, or not guilty. The jury took the case seriously, and they deliberated for 3 hours.
Oof.
They came back with a verdict of guilty for second-degree murder.
Only 3 hours?
Only 3 hours. In Oklahoma, the jury recommends a sentence, but the judge is the one who actually decides what the sentence will be. In this case, the judge took the jury's recommendation and sentenced Amber to 25 years.
Ooh, that's because she rejected the
two pleas.
The plea. Okay.
In this case, the jury did recommend 25 years, and the state of Oklahoma requires 85% of the sentence to be served before parole eligibility.
Okay.
So Amber was going to have to serve 20 years behind bars after being given credit for time served during pretrial detention.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for Amber, she had turned down a deal that would have had her out in 5 years.
Yeah.
The prosecutor said to the media that the sentence was appropriate and the jury may have chosen 25 years based on the 25th floor window Josh was pushed out of. She did appeal, and she appealed on the grounds of lack of evidence to support the conviction, improper evidence, ineffective assistance of counsel, and prosecutorial misconduct. The prosecutorial misconduct accusation comes from a witness at trial.
Uh-oh.
They had a jailhouse informant testify that Amber laughed about killing Josh, which indicated that she intentionally pushed him and said, "I killed the bastard."
Uh-oh.
But Amber's attorney talked to the informant later, who admitted that she was actually high on meth when Amber allegedly made those statements.
What?
And that the prosecutor knew.
What?
Yes.
That's for real, for real?
For real, for real.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So this obviously could have altered perception of what was said and how it was said.
Yeah.
But the prosecutor allegedly told her not to tell anyone about her being high on meth.
For real, for real.
For real, for real.
Damn.
And the prosecutor also allegedly withheld this important information from the defense. I can see why you wouldn't want to admit that you had someone high on meth.
On you.
Right. The appeal didn't go anywhere, and it was denied in April.
Mm.
Amber said she intended to continue to seek release from prison before any additional appeals could go anywhere or go through.
Mm-hmm.
On October 24th, 2016, Amber was found dead by another inmate in her cell. The guards attempted to resuscitate her, but she was declared dead 15 minutes after being found.
What?
Her cause of death was asphyxiation due to hanging, and the manner of death was ruled suicide.
Uh-oh.
But Amber's family believed that she was actually murdered by another inmate and that this murder of a high-profile inmate was then covered up.
Mm-mm.
Prisons have a lot of security cameras everywhere, yet mm-hmm. the one that would have mm-hmm. shown what happened in Amber's cell just happened to be not working at the time.
Do they have cameras in every cell?
I don't think every cell, but I think it's in a way that you can see what's going on in the cell, see yeah. who's coming in and out.
Yeah.
Because if nobody went in and out her cell and they found her dead.
Of course.
Then, okay, yeah, she probably did it. But if there's somebody that they see going in and out during the time that she hung herself. It could have been a ghost.
Could have been a ghost.
We do not know.
No, we don't know.
But the autopsy noted scratches on Amber's neck and a bruise on her jaw, which her family believes were from Amber trying to fight off someone attacking her.
Mm-hmm.
The family did ask for an independent autopsy, but that request was denied. The day after Amber's death, a letter from Amber arrived at the local news station in Tulsa. And it was not a suicide note. It was actually the opposite.
Oh.
It was Amber agreeing to do an interview. She said she was reluctant at first because of how she had been portrayed in the media previously. But she also knew that her voice was her only hope at getting what she believed was the truth out there and in changing the circumstances she found herself in.
Mm-hmm.
To Amber's family and supporters, this letter contains the words of a woman who was not suicidal but ready to fight to go home to her son.
Mm-hmm.
After Amber's death, Josh's family provided a statement to two news stations in Oklahoma. In part, the letter read that this is not time to dig up hate and contempt. Joshua and Amber are gone from this earth forever. We are left with pain and memories. Our wish for Amber's family is to try to remember the good times you had with Amber. We are praying for peace for everyone, including Josh's family and friends. Both families have lost a child. There are no winners in either of these horrible events.
That's true.
And that is the sad story of Amber and Joshua.
That's terrible.
So there were no winners in this case, and everything is shit.
That's awful.
Yeah.
So who has the boy? Who has her son?
Her family currently has custody of her son.
So Amber's family.
Amber's family, yeah.
God, that's sad, man. Like, if they would have just split and left each other, ugh.
Yeah, like at the very beginning.
They would still be alive.
They would both probably still be alive. Yeah. They would probably have more kids, maybe not together, but
maybe happy with someone else.
Individually happy with someone else and living their lives to the best. But
that's a senseless loss of life.
They were very destructive for each other.
It was never declared murder or homicide or anything in the jail.
No, they never
got. Are they going to pursue that?
They never were able to get an independent autopsy, which I would think after she's buried, you, like, once they release the body to you, I would think you could have whoever you want autopsy them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think the prison could be like, no, you can't autopsy your own kid now that you're going to bury her.
Yeah, what are the rules?
I'm not really sure.
I would definitely want to know. That's terrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. None of our stories have a good ending.
Yeah, but this one left me with a punch in the gut feeling.
Yeah, like everybody was wrong and everybody lost.
Everybody lost. And you feel it in the beginning, like, this is no good. This is no good.
It's like you feel the buildup and it's like, this is not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on this ride.
Right.
And his family is really big for coming out with that statement and like understanding, hey, we both lost our kids.
Yeah.
Like, again, nobody won. Everybody lost. This sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I know. Maybe next time I'll have a fun story for our episode.
I hope we do.
One of these days, I'm going to find a bitch that's not well, that doesn't kill anybody and is hilarious.
That's right. Just funny.
Yeah, like
fun and games.
Like that Charlotte chick that does the Reddit reviews.
Yeah.
She's great.
All right. We're going to redo a Bridezilla.
Yes. You're next.
Be prepared. Oh, man. You might show up on our podcast. All right. Well, we'll see you next week
with another episode of Bitches Who Are
Unwell.
Bye. We appreciate you listening to our podcast. If you liked it, please give us a good rating. You can listen on your favorite podcast platform with new releases every Friday. Just search for Bitch, I'm Not Well. Send us suggestions for an episode at b.tchimnotwell@gmail.com because Gmail won't let us use bitch. Or visit our website at www.bitchimnotwell.com. for more podcasts and our fabulous merchandise.
We'll see you next week on another podcast about another crazy bitch who is truly
unwell.